Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Been looking at reasons that this is necessary. There's many. We closed last week by looking at the fact that we as God's people can succumb to downward spirals. They can happen quickly. They can be very prolonged. It's simply an alteration of mood, of attitude, of outlook, and it all is in a downward direction. The Bible gives us several examples. We looked at the example of Moses. We looked at the example of Job. Today we'd like to look at a few more examples. But in the Bible we see great men of God, servants of the Lord, falling into these spiritual downward cycles. Why does God record these things? It's to remind us that we too are very much subject to these cycles. There's the example of David. David was a man after God's own heart. He was really a remarkable individual, certainly one of the most important and prominent figures, not only in the Bible, but in world history. He, of course, is one of the great characters of the Bible, great man of faith. His name is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Word of God. He's a very gifted individual. He was a shepherd. He was a musician. He was a composer. He was a writer. He was a soldier. He was a king, military strategist. He was an administrator. More importantly, he was a type of Jesus Christ. He lived a full life. His life is filled with many courageous and valiant deeds. He had many extraordinary accomplishments. His life was and still is a great influence to God's people. Yet on more than one occasion, David found himself in this spiritual downward cycle. Sometimes it was directly related to the fact that he had sinned. Other times it was not as directly related to that. As you read through the Psalms, you notice that David many times, he wrote many of these psalms when he was in these downward spirals. He's relating his experiences. The wonderful thing about the Psalms is no matter where you are spiritually as a child of God, you can find yourself somewhere in the Psalms. There's a psalm that describes your condition, whether you're close to God or far from God. There's a psalm that describes it. So let's look at David in these downward spirals. And again, it was David who penned, "He restoreth my soul." And he didn't say he restored, he said he restoreth. That is continually. David knew this by experience, and likewise we. In Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. In fact, I believe as you read the Psalms and as you look at the life of David in the Old Testament, David was a man who struggled with depression. I really believe that because there's so many examples of David in these cycles. In Psalm 13, verse 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" That's not a good place to be. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" And as he became his own counselor, that's always dangerous. "Having sorrow in my heart daily. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And then to David's credit, he makes his plea to the Lord. And by the time you get to the end of the psalm, he is saying, "I will sing unto the Lord." That's quite a contrast from verses 1 and 2, because God had already restored his soul just in that time period. God had restored him. In Psalm 42, again, you could go through almost all the Psalms and find these things. But in Psalm 42, verse 5, he's talking to himself. In verse 2, verses 1 and 2, he expresses his desire, his pursuit of God. Verse 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night." And then we see his enemies, "While they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" In verse 5, he begins to talk to himself. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's searching for a reason why he's in this condition. "Why art thou disquieted in me?" And then he talks to himself again. He says, "Hope thou in God." That's the answer. Focus upon the Lord. And then notice, so in verse 5, he's talking to himself. But then in verse 6, he's talking to God. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." We can ask ourselves, why? Why do I feel this way? How did I get here? "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" But you can't stop there. You have to proceed to the next step, and that is tell the Lord. And this, I believe, the process of restoration is now taking place. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." Then he resolves to do something. "Therefore," and he's telling the Lord this, "therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan." Then notice in verse 9, "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" Again, he's in this cycle. "Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" In verse 11, again he asks, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" There's a struggle going on here in this psalm with David. He's struggling with himself. "Why art thou disquieted within me?" And again, he tells himself, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Restoration. He's in this cycle, but again, he restoreth my soul. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The very same thing that we just read in Psalm 42. He finds himself there again in Psalm 43. Again, this was an ongoing struggle. Psalm 55, he talks, he pleads with God in verse 1, verse 2, speaks of the voice of the enemy in verse 3, those that hate him. And then he says in verse 4, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. So there's pain, there's fear. Fearfulness and trembling. Again, the terrors of death, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. So he's saying this is not just a moment of fear. It is a fear that has overwhelmed him. It has taken possession of his being. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. That's the mindset of many. It does not work. I just need to get away, and I would be at rest. Lo, then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Yeah, I can get away, but I would eventually wander off and remain in the wilderness. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. In Psalm 73, we see again David in a downward cycle. This time, we see why. We see why. The other times, we don't have the specific reasons given. But here, different time, there is a specific reason. Notice, begin reading in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even such as are of a clean heart. Well, that's a good statement. But, here we go. But, as for me, he's now entering a downward cycle. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Here's the reason. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He had gotten his eyes off God. His eyes were upon self and his own righteousness. And his eyes were upon the wicked. He looked at himself, how that he was suffering. Things were not working out as he had envisioned. And he looked at the wicked. They didn't seem to have any problems. So not only did he get his eyes off God and his eyes on others, but he's actually thinking, I deserve better than this. And I deserve more than them. Anytime you get in that position, you're in a downward cycle. There's nothing good that's going to come from it. And that's where David is at this point. he makes several statements about the wicked. And again, this is all just as he's seeing it. It's not true. It's not something he can know. But he's convinced himself of these things. When we have our own reality rather than what is reality, we're in a downward cycle. We're in a downward cycle. For there are no bands in their death. Well, how does he know that? He doesn't know that. He's just going by what can be seen. There are no bands, there are no difficulties in their death. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment, speaking of their behavior. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And there is knowledge in the Most High. And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly. And here's his problem. Who prosper in the world. That's where he has a problem. He has a problem with their, not so much with their wickedness. He has a problem with the fact that they're prospering and he isn't. That they seem to be faring better than he. That's pride. That's self-righteousness. That's a dangerous cycle. They say how, in verse 12, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And then he draws a conclusion, an erroneous one. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. And wash my hands in innocency. What's he saying? He's saying, I have done right for nothing. That's a terrible statement. He's saying, what's the use? What's the use of doing right? Nothing. I don't prosper from it. They do wrong and they prosper. That's a terrible cycle to fall into. It's a result of self-righteousness. It's a result of pride. It's a result of thinking you deserve better than the wicked. He goes on in verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. What was plaguing him? It was his thoughts. That was more of a plague than whatever else was going on in his life. Verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Then notice in verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast. I was as an animal before thee. That's a terrible condition. What changed his condition was verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You see, his thoughts are painful. His thoughts are painful. Anytime your thoughts become painful, you're in a downward cycle. You need restoration until my thoughts were painful until I went into the sanctuary of God, got his eyes on God. Then I understood their end. Then I understood reality, what was really so. And that's when he confesses, I was as a beast before thee. Fell into a terrible cycle. God restored him. God restored him by getting his eyes back on the Lord. Psalm 143, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 143, verses 3 and 4. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness. That's a bad place. He hath made me to dwell in darkness. That's really not a true statement. He thinks it is. The enemy did not make him dwell in darkness. Now, what that's probably speaking of is the fact that David fled to cave, as he often did, which of course would have been darkness. As those that have been long dead, that describes the degree of the darkness. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. And again, that's the reason that restoration of soul is necessary. We have the example of Elijah. Comes off a miraculous victory. And then you see in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4, he's sitting under a juniper tree, wishing to die. Again, because he thinks he's the only one. His reality, what his view of reality is skewed. And he thinks he's the only one. He wasn't. But this caused him great pain. He moves from exhilaration and intense excitement to utter dejection and discouragement and depression. And just in a matter of moments, this happened. He descended from a mountaintop experience, and now you see him in a deep, deep valley of gloom and despair. God would bring him out. God would speak to him. God restored his soul. God didn't leave him there. Think of Jonah. Jonah certainly doesn't have the, you could not put him in the same class with David or Elijah. Jonah was really pretty mixed up, messed up individual. But he was a man whom God used to bring repentance to Nineveh. That should have thrilled Jonah to be used in that way. But it didn't. Jonah falls into a downward spiral. Notice in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, book of Jonah, chapter 3, in verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. God has blessed, and Jonah is displeased. Was that not really David's problem back in Psalm 73? David was displeased because the unrighteous were being blessed. Not only did he become displeased, he was angry. Who's he angry with? Some would say, well, he's angry because the Ninevites. No, he's angry at God. He's angry because God has blessed these people. And he goes on, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou wast a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and great kindness. In other words, he goes, He is justifying why he fled from God. Anytime you can justify wrong, you're in a terrible place. And that's what he's doing. He's justifying, God, this is why I fled, because I knew you would do this. I knew you would bless this people, and I didn't want them blessed. So he's displeased. You read on in Jonah 4, we're running out of time, but we see God was good to Jonah, and God sought to comfort Jonah, and God caused a gourd to grow, and that brought shade to Jonah and refreshment to Jonah. But then God removed the gourd. There was now a trial in Jonah's life. And Jonah's beside himself. He can't handle it. Anytime a trial comes into our life and we're absolutely beside ourselves, you're in a downward spiral. Jonah's beside himself. And again, he's angry with God. And God says, "Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah?" And Jonah justifies his anger. Yes, I have a right to be angry. And anytime you hold on to your right to be angry, you're in a downward cycle, then note there's nothing good that's going to come of it. And then God rebuked him by telling him that he was more concerned, and he showed more concern over a gourd than he did the souls of Nineveh. And once again, anytime we get ourselves in a spot where we are more concerned about temporal things and more upset about temporal things and spiritual things, that's a terrible place to be. Sadly, many of God's people live their whole lives there. They're more concerned about temporal things than they are spiritual things. They get more upset about temporal things than spiritual things. But for all of these reasons, because we can fall into these cycles, and we're all prone to it, restoration is necessary. And God is so gracious, God is so long-suffering, so merciful, that the psalmist says, "He restoreth my soul." He just keeps on restoring our soul. How thankful we ought to be that our shepherd is a restorer, that he knows how to restore our souls. We can't restore our own soul. He does that. He's the restorer. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you for this 23rd Psalm. We thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd. We thank you that you do restore our soul, and you do so on a continual basis. Lord, we pray today that you'd meet with us. We pray that you would draw us closer to thee. Save the lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.